This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, now accepting bribes, which I think I'm actually supposed to call sponsors. We are your podcast hosts who are, we know our words, we're good at them. Don't worry about it, Taylor and Chelsea. Yeah. Here today, following up on the, I think it's J4 Productions, Chelsea, or is it J3
Three.
Productions?
You were so close.
Okay.
Just minus one.
I felt J4 sounded better, which is why I went with that. I thought, surely it can't be J3. That just sounds wrong.
You got to go with the one that sounds more right.
J4 sounds better, right?
It does, actually. It sounds more official.
But I guess you got to have an extra J, and J's are hard to come by in English. So, yeah, I guess that's why they went with it. Anyhow, we are not recording these back-to-back, nor even within a week of the first one. So I am going to fess up that I do not remember much, but I do remember Stanley Tiger, and I do remember these guys being very misleading. So I think we can go from there.
Yeah, last week we went over the first. There's three of them. We went over the first and second.
Sorry, you say three? Do you mean three outside of Stanley Tiger?
No.
Okay.
So if you recall back to the last one that you probably listened to a week ago, the first in the series starts with Extraordinary Stanley Tiger.
Right. I actually do remember that because a lot of it is like all this stuff's coming out while the movie's kind of being filmed, and they're like, we can't throw away good money.
Yeah. Why the hell do you keep going with it when it comes out right at the end that he's a pedophile and he has been arrested and been found guilty? Why do you keep going with the series? Anyhow, today I'm starting off with the third in the series, which is called Extraordinary: The Revelations. And this one gets a little bit higher ratings on IMDb with a whopping 5.4 out of 10 rating and an all-star cast.
That's over half. That is above average, technically.
Yeah.
But that's not how society works, unfortunately.
I'm about to shock you with who is in this movie. Jimmy Church narrates it.
Oh, no way. He's got a good voice.
He does have a good voice. I don't know how they got him. It doesn't make sense to me.
I don't think Jimmy Church is in high demand, Chelsea.
I know, but still,
I think we could get Jimmy Church.
If you're lending your name to something, wouldn't you do a little bit of research knowing, it's going to come up probably pretty quickly that they put out a movie about a pedophile? Though, Stanley Tiger was involved. I believe he was on Coast as well. We would have to go all the way back to the Stanley Tiger episode, not the last episode, to remember that. And I can't recall. I think he was on Coast to Coast AM, though. Followed by Richard Dolling, David Jacobs, L.A. Marzulli, George Norrie makes an appearance, Nick Pope, Michael Sala, all in this documentary, at least in one form or another. And so I'm just going to read you the storyline of this one. So Extraordinary: The Revelations explores the historical significance of ET presence, as well as three specific paradigms: biblical, ascension and colonization, that attempt to define the alien agenda, while individuals in each of these thought camps believe ET interaction is occurring. Their endgame assessments are vastly different. retired military whistleblowers directly involved in government-sanctioned programs related to ET engagement and communication also tell their life-changing stories. Answering once and for all, do governments know about the existence of ETs? Have they made contact with them? Are they engaged in above black programs? And have they been hiding these facts from the general public for decades? That's the official storyline of this. And I gotta tell you, watching this movie was, all of them were boring. All of them boring. Really dry to get through. And it reminded me exactly of a really long Ancient Aliens episode. To the T.
Really? Because I could at least find a good amount of Ancient Alien episodes entertaining.
Yeah. You can. They're putting this a different spin on the same information, it feels like, every single one. But it has to be entertaining for it to go on for so many seasons. And I heard that, you know, David Wilcock was paid $500 an episode.
Oh, man, I bet that comes from a credible source, too.
Yeah, you know it. I mean, even look at who's involved in this. It's set up exactly like an Ancient Aliens episode. And this is purely my feedback from watching it.
Chelsea, I just want to, could we call it Timu Ancient Aliens?
Yes, we could. Okay. We could. Okay. I don't know if I quite do Timu because you got all the players.
No,
because
they still got this. Yeah, they still got the same players. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. And you know what?
No, it'd be like if they got Nick Pape.
Yeah,
and like
exactly.
Jonathan Hagel.
Or it's like all these people you've never heard of before, but they're there. Like they've been there the whole time. That's how I
like Stanley Tiger and friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, basically the idea for the series of the creators of this trilogy was the layman's version of UFOs. If you know nothing going into UFOs, which I don't even know why a series like this would appeal to you in the first place, I feel like I would watch the first Stanley Tiger one and be like, what the fuck did I actually just watch? And this man was a pedophile, you say?
I would be very curious what their target audience is. Do they think they're getting repeat people, or do they think they're just getting people based on name recognition? Which I think at the end of the day is what they're going for on this one in particular.
I don't think it is, because this is exactly what they're going with. This is, you know nothing going into UFOs about it. You don't want anything overwhelming. You just want, you know, the absolute essential information. If you were to say, tell me about aliens, this is what you would be looking for. So by the end of the third installment of this, you will have a better understanding of the bigger picture. And their goal was to reach the widest audience possible. No over-the-top stories so that they could connect with people, which I find interesting that in the seeding, a majority of the focus was on alien hybrid babies.
Ah, yes.
Didn't seem like the most beginner-friendly, but hey, who am I to judge, I guess? I mean, they're the laymen.
No, that's fair.
UFO stories.
But yeah, it makes more sense to go with something that's just above ordinary, extraordinary, because people know ordinary.
Oh, yeah.
They did not go much above ordinary, it sounds
You really
like.
Just tied it up. But actually, I'm very specifically here to judge this. And it doesn't just connect for me under the guise of Abduction 101, because they're using terms that you would have to have a knowledge of going in. For instance, a woman recalling an abduction, and she is conveying her experience that was uncovered under regression with no other information on what regression is. So am I off in thinking that their target audience wouldn't know what the regression portion of that is, or are
no,
they just kind of operating on the understanding?
I do think that their target audience does know what a regression was, because they're targeting people who would know who the celebrities are in this movie. So they should at least know what regression is.
And it does kind of take a turn for the second two, but it feels really off to be targeting people who are looking for information to get them started. it doesn't feel like a right fit to
that's
me.
Fair.
Ancient especially, Aliens is more.
Yeah,
of a
that
fit.
Makes sense, and especially with going with like such a broad title, like Extraordinary, you think you'd wanted to go with a lot more simple terms.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even when we were talking about the seating, it's very female oriented. It's a lot of miscarriages. It's a lot of hybrid babies, people being pregnant and then not being pregnant. It doesn't seem like something that would draw you in if you're looking for people who, unless people are specifically looking for something on that. It's very niche. It's not an overall overview of something.
Yeah, to get someone and started. And if you're putting putting George Norrie in a movie, like, you're not going for people who know stuff about the community. You're looking at people who have merely dipped their toe into the water that is Fringe.
Oh, and will George Norrie not elaborate or give you any more information?
No, he doesn't know what regression is. Let's face it.
Yeah. And speaking of boring, who made these documentaries, you ask? Well, Taylor, two of the most boring people on the planet. Unfortunately, I was really hoping for something else because we focus on assholes so much in this podcast, and these people, boring as I don't even know. Let's just talk about them. First one, John Semple. I'm who doesn't love a good Coast to Coast AM biography? So I'm just going to start with that. And it goes a little something like this. Researcher and documentary filmmaker John Semple is one of the men behind the films Extraordinary the Seating and Extraordinary the Stan Romanek Story. Surprised they included that one. From his website, John Semple is one of the three. This is not Coast to Coast AM anymore.
Wait, that was all they had on Coast to Coast?
That was literally it. From his website, John Semple is one of three co-founders of J3 Films, along with partners Jack Roth and Jamie Cernoff. J3 Films creates engaging, entertaining, and educational documentaries that challenge conventional wisdom. With deep ties to communities surrounding the unexplained, they have access to researchers, investigative journalists, subject matter experts, and eyewitnesses in the paranormal and ufology fields. John is also a producer, director, and writer for J3 Films projects, having done all three of the following award-winning films. Not that award-winning, wait, by the way, if
yes,
you remember back
yes
to the first episode. Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek Story, 2013-2017. I don't know what that second date is. Extraordinary, the Seating, 2019. And Extraordinary, the Revelations, 2021. They are all available worldwide on AVOD platforms. I don't know what that means. John Semple and Jack Roth are the driving creative force between J3 Films, and the duo is responsible for cultivating the company's development opportunities for documentaries and feature scripts. I don't know. He has a baseball podcast. He is or was or whatever a senior editor for TheFenceBaseball.com. He also seems to be associated somehow with the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, which seems to be founded by Stephen Bassett.
I forgot about that group. They've
and
come
some
up
other
before.
Guy. What is
I
it?
I can't remember,
what
but
is
it has come up before.
Look at the website. Go take a look at the website.
I've seen the website. It was really weird, but I can't remember
I can't tell you what the fuck it is.
Hollywood UFO
Alliance,
it has
Alliance, no information.
Right?
You.
Yeah, we've definitely been there before, but I can't remember why.
Yeah, no information on that website. Though I got this guy's full bio from there for some reason. It's pretty much the only place he had a full bio. It was super
who
weird.
Did we look at?
I don't know what it is.
We looked at somebody that brought
I can't
us
remember
here. We've
looking
definitely
at
been
it
here before.
I can't remember looking, but it's no information. There's no information about what the hell it is. It's super weird.
Well, they
weird
lost Earl Grey Anderson and Sergio Lubb. Poor guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing you can cipher from that freaking website. It's weird. I don't know. I don't know.
You don't think it was AI created, do you?
No, it didn't have an AI feel to it. It just has like a super non-direction.
Man, I wish I could remember where that came up. We've definitely seen it before, though.
I don't remember looking at it before. That's funny. So, yeah, this guy, just to really underline this, he has no paranormal, extraterrestrial, anything.
This guy
ties
definitely put together like a 2-hour PowerPoint presentation, which had an ROI near the end, that said we can get 1.8% return on investment from this industry after like talking about it for 3 hours.
Yeah, that is what it seems to be in the end. Disappointing to say the least. Jack Roth is no better, but has a little bit more of a biography on Coast to Coast. Researcher and documentary filmmaker Jack Roth is one of the men behind the films Extraordinary the Seating and Extraordinary the Stan Romanek Story. And that's what's on Coast to Coast AM again. That's literally how boring these guys are, because there's literally nothing on Coast to Coast AM about them. And they went on, I think, once or twice to just talk about the movie.
Oh, yeah. And they'll write anything you want on the Coast to Coast AM biography.
Like, why not make it more then? So from his own website, Jack Roth, he writes us. Jack Roth is a journalist, documentary film producer, and nonfiction book author. He has produced the award-winning documentary films Extraordinary the Stan Romanek Story, Extraordinary the Seating, and Extraordinary the Revelations. In addition to Killing Kennedy, he is also the author of Ghost Soldiers of Gettysburg and Unknown Down, books that adeptly explore unexplained phenomena. Jack's work is driven by his strong desire to seek the truth and share it with others, as this, he believes, will ultimately lead to greater enlightenment and personal freedom for all of humanity. He is a graduate of Boston University, BS, Business Administration, University of Miami, Film Institute Certification, and University of Central Florida, BA Journalism. And at the end of the biography, I have to say that given his background of what he has written books about, he literally has not appeared on Coast to Coast AM for anything other than the Extraordinary plug once. Is that not weird? Because he also wrote a book on Ghost Soldiers of Gettysburg and Killing Kennedy. So
yeah, those are things that they would eat up for sure.
Exactly. So weird, right? Like I said, they are surprisingly boring people. And I noticed that they kept saying things like they have, quote, deep ties to communities surrounding the unexplained, and quote, with never any more elaboration than that. That's all they say. They say it in their biographies. I listened to a podcast episode with them. Strongly do not recommend that, because their talking is not any more interesting. That's all they would say, though, is that they had deep ties to communities surrounding the unexplained.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, which is what they kind of say. That's what got them into it. And they had the resources and the connections to be able to speak with these people who had experiences. But they never elaborated on it, which I thought was weird as well.
No, that's usually where it goes. Yeah.
I searched and searched. And, you know, when researching, usually for someone very involved in a community such as this, you can find
what they're involved with and who they've talked
to. At least a sufficient amount. Yeah. And these guys, I can't even tell you how much searching I had to do to find even just this stuff that I told you on them. The biographies on the website are on their own website with all their awards and everything. Highly edited. You can tell they're only giving you what they want, right? And you never know when they're involved with someone with Stanley Romanek. Like, they might have to be very wary of what they're putting out, because there's probably a lot to uncover. I listened to a podcast with them on, in which the host kept breathing. I forgot about this. The host kept breathing incredibly heavy into the mic while they talked, and it was so annoying. But turns out they came together and literally they just wanted to make a documentary with a compelling story. And that's literally the background. They're like, hey, I want to make a documentary because I have a BA in journalism. And the other guy was like, yeah, me too. I want to make a documentary. What should we do it on? And I guess it's exactly like what you said. Like, if we do it on this, then
the ROI is the highest. Yeah. With the least amount of effort.
Yeah. Honestly, the fact that I couldn't find much on them is enough to make me skeptical, because they don't have a huge footprint outside of these documentaries, other than what was the baseball website?
Oh, yeah. The Fence.
The Fence Baseball. These documentaries, starting with Stanley Romanek, are extraordinarily bad and are associated with a pedophile. And I can't tie that with why they get so many people on board for them for the second two movies in the series. I know I said this in the first one, but it just doesn't make sense to me. So they have connections somewhere.
They, here's the thing, Chelsea. I think it makes a lot of sense since we're talking about like ROI, return on investment. That fully explains the first one, why they would not get rid of the Stanley Tiger. They need to show that they could return on what they paid. My guess is that they didn't have to pay Stanley a lot, so any release at least paid for itself. Mm-hmm. And then from there, they paid for quality in this one. They paid for people that they knew what to expect from them. So they paid a little bit more and hopefully got a better return because of that.
Well, obviously it would have.
Although that doesn't explain the middle one, though. I don't get what they were doing there.
I know. It totally doesn't make sense for me. I mean, I do have some thoughts on it. I'm wrapping it up. This one's a really short one. It's a mystery to me. I thought I was going to be looking at assholes for sure going into this because, number one, they came out strong with Stanley Tiger. They came out real strong.
No, it turns out the asshole was just capitalism the whole time.
It was. It is always the asshole in the end. But then they keep going with the series. And to me, they're not even... The documentaries don't even have the same feel as the Stanley Tiger.
And it's funny that they like even thought, this is a series, like, we need to use the same name.
Like, the second two, definitely, I could tell they're related with Stanley Tiger. Like, the guy clearly just made up a bunch of shit and then was a pedophile the
just
whole time.
Just reboot. You don't need to use Extraordinary.
Exactly.
It's not even that
but
good of
name. But they just went for it. And then I dug into it and we were like, oh, there's going to be something there. Because we were like, holy shit, there's two more movies that these guys do. And they like worked with a pedophile. And then they just turn out to be the most miraculously boring dudes that were just like, yeah, you want to make a documentary? Yeah, let's just make one that was of no interest to either of us. But we got connections somehow. We're not ever going to disclose what those weird connections are or like literally anything because we're the two most boring dudes on the face of this earth. And we're just going to go with him. And here we are in a podcast talking about two boring dudes and the weird movies they made that I wouldn't say that they particularly have had any fucking impact at all. I didn't learn anything. They were boring as well. I won't watch them again. I wouldn't recommend you watch them.
And it's been a while since they've done anything, right? Like, this came out in 2021, so it's been 4 years. And I don't think they've been working on like their penultimate quadrilogy to
you would never
finish
know.
It off.
You would never know.
No, but you can't find anything they're working on either. That's the funny
that might
thing.
That might be a part of why you can't find anything on them because they have no connections. So and, I don't know. I'm speculating at this part, but it bothers me. Why would you make these documentaries?
I'm thinking they blew too much on this last movie, which is what...
I bet you they did.
Which
I
is
bet you
why they,
did. They
can't
and
do anything now.
I didn't hear anything. I listened to a couple of podcasts because I was like, there has to be more to these guys than what I'm hearing. The podcast gave me a little bit more info because that's where I learned that, you know, they just got together and they were like, let's just make a documentary on something. Like, it could be anything. It could be baseball. It could be hybrid babies. We don't care. Let's just see what's going to make us the most money, which is weird that this one, they went with this one. They might have made more with baseball. But, yeah, I was super shocked on that because I was like, wow, these are... You know, usually the people we talk about in the UFO community, they have a little bit more pizzazz.
They really do. But I'm looking, like, their socials. They have a YouTube page. Hasn't been posted to it in 5 years. They have an Instagram page. Nothing's been posted to it. You know, I can't tell on this one for sure. But
looking at our Instagram.
No. Right? They have a J3 Films Facebook page that nothing's been posted since 2023. So.
Yeah. And then you look at their website. It's super professional looking, but it's misleading as all fuck.
Yeah.
Because it looks like they've won many, many, many awards for these movies and they didn't win shit.
And
not a one.
The last time they posted their blog is 2021.
Super weird. They might do something again. I wouldn't doubt if they do. I don't know where they go from here, to be honest with you, unless they find another partnership with a pedophile.
And we can't see what any of them are up to either.
Yeah.
Like,
why would you?
Well, you would think as production people, you would want to have your name, like, out there, like, known that you're doing things.
Maybe they're NPCs.
Oh, maybe. I guess with that.
That has to be the answer, yeah. Right?
With that, I have been Taylor here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.